You're worthy to receive praise and glory and honor, thanksgiving. We exalt you, Jesus. There was a prophecy on Wednesday. It's in the back. You can pick it up. Let's turn to Romans 8. I haven't been there in a while, but it's a throwback time this morning. Hallelujah. Mia's here. We just prayed for her on Wednesday night. Hallelujah. She's here. She's getting healed. Thank God. Hallelujah. Paul comes to some interesting, through the Holy Spirit, conclusions coming out of Romans chapter 7. And we don't have time to go into it, and it's not our assignment this morning to go into it and teach it line on line, because you'd have to go starting probably in chapter 6 and then go to 7. But one of the strongest differentiations, if I can say it that way, of the church at large is how you interpret by the Holy Spirit Romans chapter 7. If you don't leave it in context, you can take it out of context and believe that Paul is speaking to Christians. And if you believe that Paul is speaking to Christians there, it comes to a place where Paul himself said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And it seems like he was coming to a place where he was having an internal struggle of serving Christ. The things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do do. And all of that, and I'm just giving a brief overview synopsis, is contextually he's taking the persona of an Old Testament man under the law who was trying to serve God with his mind and was not yet born again. The world, if you're in the world, you cannot keep the laws of God without a born again nature. Without being born again, you can strive all you want to and will all you want to. And this was the problem that they were having under the law. They loved God to a certain extent, and they tried to serve him with their minds, but no matter what, they would continue to wind up sinning. And this is why there was sacrifice after sacrifice. Now for us, there's only one sacrifice. His name is Jesus. And he's continually there for us. And the covenant has been made with he and the Father. And we're inside that covenant between those two. But Paul concludes Romans 7. And it's that man under the law that can't keep the law because he's not yet born again. But when he goes into Romans 8:1, he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." He's not talking about, you know, I did stuff, but there's no condemnation. Yes, if you repent, there's no condemnation. But that's not what he was talking about. He was talking about once Christ has come and fulfilled the law, and I come into Christ, now there's no condemning sentence. Sin does not have dominion over me. It can't make me do what I don't want to do. Hallelujah. I can stand up against it. And the dividing line of so many churches is how they interpret chapter 7. We interpret chapter 7 according to truth, contextually, is that that's an Old Testament or somebody living under the law, trying to keep the law, but has not yet been born again. We're free from sin. Hallelujah. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. But he goes on in this chapter to offer so much of the support of how, when he gets to the end, he begins to bring in not only the born again, he's brought in the born again. In verse 2, he says, "For the law of the Spirit of life." The law of the Spirit of life is that born again, the moment we got born again. That law of the Spirit of life, something happened to you instantaneously wherever you were at and wherever you received Jesus. Something happened. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made you free from the law of sin and of death. And I like the way that Pastor Dave used to say, it took away not only the sin and death, but all the cousins to that as well. In other words, sickness doesn't have to have dominion over you. Depression doesn't have to have dominion over you. All the things that would come along with the law of sin and death, is free. You're free from the moment that you get born again. Well, I don't feel free, but you've got to stand on the word of God and stand up against the enemies of the flesh and the warrings of the spirits of this world and say, this is what I am, because this is what the word of God says. Hallelujah. Paul goes on, and we're going to skip much of this chapter because we want to get into where the Holy Spirit really continues or ministers to us. Let's look at verse 22. I guess we'll go to there. I'm sure that's where I want it because that's in my notes here. Paul says, we know that the whole of creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together and now. Until now. And he was talking about, if you follow this whole chapter here, and we're not reading the chapter, but he's talking about, he wants to introduce the groanings of the Holy Spirit and how that the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us. Isn't it wonderful that once you're born again, the Holy Spirit creates that place of habitation? And then there's another work of the Holy Spirit where he baptizes us and fills up that place in which he's created, and that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's from that place that the Holy Spirit works his work of intercession for us. So Paul starts out and he's trying to get us to a place where he's going to introduce the groanings of the Spirit or the groanings of the Holy Spirit, but he goes to two significant groanings first. First, he introduces the planet and says the planet, all of creation, is groaning and travailing in pain until now. Somebody said, well, really, does nature groan? Oh, yeah, you don't hear. You can't go out to a tree this morning, put your ear next to it, and it's talking to you. But in essence, the groanings of the planet is that it's dying. It's a dying planet, and it's groaning for pre-Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 is when man fell and God compressed all the earth into man's fall. And that's another lesson in itself. So the earth is nothing like it was, hardly, prior to Genesis chapter 3. And so the earth in itself is groaning in that sense of the word, the hurricanes, the earthquakes, all the different things that are taking place. The earth is crying out, restore me, in that sense of the word, restore me. Now, there is coming a new heaven and a new earth. So this earth is going to completely dissolve, and God's going to completely create a totally different earth. He's not just going to restore this one. He's going to completely create another one, much better. And it's going to be as good as, and if it could be possibly better than Genesis chapter 1 and 2, but my goodness, we've got something to look forward to. Hallelujah. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Well, if you follow this, the first fruits, what is the first fruits? What's the first thing that happens to you? Well, to come into the kingdom, the first thing that has to happen to you, you must be born again. Whether you're filled with the Spirit or not, you're going to heaven, thank God, based on the first fruits, being born of him. That's the first thing that God does, is birth you into his kingdom by giving you a new nature and separating you from Romans chapter 7. You're separated from that. That's not your life. Romans chapter 6 and chapter 7 is not you. You were baptized into him in Romans chapter 6. Not water baptism as of yet. The moment you get born again, not just theoretically, but in all reality, God takes your spirit as it was and kills the old you and raises the new you up into Christ Jesus. It's an incredible thing that happens in the spirit realm inside of you the moment you're born again. Hallelujah. But ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, we groan we're not even yet, this person's not yet filled, or this particular verse is not yet filled with the Holy Spirit. We groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to happen, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Well, let's talk about the redemption of our bodies. But before that, let's say this. How do we groan? There's something inside of us. And I know you don't even have to be born again to hate the terrible things that are taking place in this world. But how much more that us as born again believers, we look at stuff and we love the people. Don't misinterpret this. We love the people that are messed up, but we see their lives and we see how deranged they are and the difference. We say that's again, we love them, but we're sick. It makes us sick. And when I say sick, it just, there's a groaning on the inside that says, that's wrong. That's perverted. That's out of order. And we look at all of the travesties of the world, the children, all the misplaced children, all the different things that are taking place on the planet. And there's something inside of us that says, this is wrong. This has got to change. God, I come back. Come back, Lord Jesus. Look, I love this life, but if he comes today, that's fine with me. Hallelujah. Because I'm ready for all this to change, and I just want all my family in, and I praise God that my immediate family is in, and I give God the glory all the time for that. Hallelujah. But the first fruits of the Spirit, being born again, we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to be made complete, the redemption of our bodies. How many of you know that you're going to have another body other than this one? You already have an internal spiritual body that is finger to finger, toe to toe, eye to eye on the inside of you, and you have a spiritual mind, but you have a body laid up for you in heaven. Let me go with me to 1 Thessalonians. Let's put a little hope in you about what's going to happen to you in the days ahead. I'll often use this in memorials or funerals if I can. The toughest ones are when you don't know if somebody's truly been born again. Hallelujah. But I thank God when I know that they're there, this one's easy to use. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verse 17. Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica. He's giving them hope for the future and hope for Christ's coming and their loved ones that are with him. But he says, I would not have you ignorant. He's not calling them stupid. He's saying misinformed or not informed, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And he's talking about those that have passed on, those that have departed. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And those that have no hope are those that are in the world. And they, if your loved one passes, they don't know Christ. There's no reconciliation for that. There's no going back. There's no purgatory. There's no waiting place. This is why it's so important for us to intercede for our loved ones. And this is why it's so important for people to know where they're headed. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Do you get that? They are with him. So they're not someplace else. They're with him because he's going to bring them with him when he comes back. And this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, saying, I'm telling you, God's speaking this through me, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. In other words, if we're here when he does come back, this second coming, shall not prevent. That word prevent means to supersede. What's going to take place is there's going to be a change first to them. And I don't know why God did it this way, but that's his schedule of events. We will not supersede them which are asleep or have died in Christ or coming back with him. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So this is where people get this mixed up. They think, well, if they're going to rise first, they think, well, they're dead. They're down here in this grave. I grew up hearing the teachers say, well, he's going to put together a glorified body by regathering all the minute little cells that were once here. And that's not what this is saying. I mean, why would God, if you died in the ocean and you got ate by a big fish, and another fish ate that, and another fish ate that, and it pooped you out someplace in the ocean, is God going to gather all those? That's not what this is saying. It's saying that we will, those that will, once that they're coming back, why would he send them back into the grave? We used to sing, the graves will then burst open. The graves are not going to burst open. Okay. He's bringing them back with him. They will change first. As they're coming back, there will be a change for them. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if we could go there, it's talking about there will be a change at the twinkling of an eye, and our bodies, theirs, they're walking around, not just as ghosts. They can see each other, they can touch each other, but they're spirit beings. They're spiritual. No one, has glorified bodies that have died and gone there since Christ. And so they can see each other and they can talk to each other and they're just as touchable. You know, spirit can touch a spirit and it's just as solid as, you know, God's solid. You know, I mean, the Holy Ghost is in here, of course. But if you touch God or God touches you, it's solid spiritual mass. Hallelujah. Okay. We're doing a little, spiritual chemistry this morning. Okay. So he says they will not supersede, not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. In other words, they're going to be changed first. We're going to see this taking place. And then as they're changed, the moment they're changed, we're going to be changed. And verse 17 says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up unto together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. So go on, we could talk about more in that, but hallelujah. How many of you know that he's going to set up a millennial kingdom down here for 1,000 years? And we're thankful that that's going to take place. One other, well, I said we could go to 1 Corinthians. Why don't we go there? 1 Corinthians chapter, just to kind of give you some overview. Because he said, we groan within ourselves. We're back to, I'm just telling you where we launched out of this. We groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Hallelujah. So we have a spirit. We're going to get a glorified body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 50 says this. Now this I say unto you, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. In other words, not everybody's going to. I love the way Paul says this. He says, he talks like Jesus. When Jesus said that, you know, Jesus. This is why it's so important that we watch our words. Jesus watched his words. He said, Lazarus is asleep. And then they said, well, if he's asleep, then he's doing well. And then he was like, you guys are going to make me do this? Okay, according to you, he's dead. But I'm going to go wake him up. Because all I can say is, according to things that weigh out, how we see things in the spirit. He's just asleep. So Paul says this, we shall not all sleep, we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound. You know, we won't go into that. There's different trumps in the book of Revelation. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? Hallelujah. I'm glad we're going to get a new body. That glorified body, you know, we're living in a body that can, sin doesn't have to have dominion over us, but this body can. I like the way Gary says, it has no moral compass at all. In other words, it'll do whatever you let it. If you don't restrain it by the Spirit, it'll just, if you just say, okay, just go ahead, it thinks sin is fun. Even born again, there is a change that takes place. It spills over into that place, but still we rule and reign out of our new nature, out of the power of the new nature. And when we say no, it has to say, okay, because you're the boss. But there's a coming a body that we're going to live in that this, it's like a snail coming out of its shell. We're going to be put back in another one. We're going to live in eternity in that one. And that one cannot. It's impossible for that one to sin. Hallelujah. Praise God. Aren't you glad? Amen. We're going to walk around on a new planet, and we don't even have to try to resist temptation. Hallelujah. Well, one, the tempter will be gone. He'll be in the pit forever. And hallelujah. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. If anybody ever asks, well, what about if anybody could ever sin again? And what if there was ever another rebellion, another by any other angel? John looked down by the Holy Spirit and he said, so shall we ever be with the Lord. There'll never be another fall. There'll never be another necessity for Jesus to die once again. It's a one and done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we'll all recognize each other. Yes, sir. Romans chapter 8:24. We're going right back to where we were at. So he says this. So turn back to Romans 8. Hallelujah. Romans 8:24, ending up with 23, says, For we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to be made complete, the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. And we looked at how that's going to take place, and when it's going to take place is when he comes back. And then verse 24 says this, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? Well, that makes sense. In other words, if you're hoping for something and you have to see it, or you see it, why do you continue to hope? It's manifested. Likewise, he says this, or verse 25, he says, but we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Then here's the next. He says, likewise. Likewise what? Well, he's went over two places, two groanings, the groaning of the planet, and then the groaning of our new nature, or who we are. And then he says, in the same manner, likewise, the Spirit also, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit here, also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, it says itself, but it's a better translation to say himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. When it says cannot be uttered, he's not saying that he can't utter them. It's saying you can't utter them. So he steps in as the intercessor, because an intercessor prays. And so the Holy Spirit is praying, and he's praying through you. Well, he's praying with you, for you, with a language that you cannot utter of yourself. You can't think this up. You can't dream this up. You can't make this up. So he's talking about none other than the praying in the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit here. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. This is the word groanings, is the word sighing. The Holy Spirit's not groaning on the inside of you just by going, oh, No, he's interceding with a language that has words and paragraphs and syllables, and he's making intercession for us on a continual basis. Are you glad? Hallelujah. Those of you that are filled, pray continually in the Holy Spirit. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them which are called according to his purpose. And he's not saying here, again, contextually, reading this whole thing out, he's not saying that all things like, well, you know what? I lost this, went bankrupt there, we wrecked the car. God was doing all that to work for my good. No way. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. This is where people get mad at God. They say, God, why did you do this? Well, God said, I didn't have nothing to do with that. The devil did that. Or our own mistakes did that. But we can say, Lord, okay, I did make a mistake. Forgive me. And we get reconciled and come back. Hallelujah. But he's working and contextually there that all the things that we're praying in the Spirit are working for our good. Even physically we don't feel like it. It may seem dry. It may seem like, God, that's the one thing that you can do. You know, worship, I love to worship God and feel God's presence. But I've worshiped him through a lot of dry times. Reading the word, you've got to read the word, and eventually you want to comprehend it by revelation. Praying in tongues, a lot of times it can seem so dry. You're like, Lord, am I getting anything out of this? But you're praying in tongues, and it's not you the one praying. You're not the one making intercession. It's the Holy Spirit inside of you that's making intercession. So your emotions have nothing to do with it. Hallelujah. The word infirmities here means this. At a Thayer's, it means a want of strength. So he says the Holy Spirit does this. He comes to help your infirmities. What's infirmities? It's a want of strength, a weakness, an infirmity of the body. It's a narrative weakness or frailty, a feebleness of health or sickness of the soul, a want of strength or capacity, a requisite to understand a thing, to do a thing great and glorious, to restrain from corrupt desires, to bear trials and tribulations. So it's the new nature that sets you free from sin. But the Holy Spirit also will stand there. That's why it says also. He also. We groan within ourselves and say, no. But the Holy Spirit is also an enforcer standing there. I'll back you up. I'll back you up in your decisions. You say, well, no, it's the new nature. Okay, it is the new nature. But don't pray for 6 months. You're still going to be born again. But it's going to be a lot harder for you to resist sin than if you continue to pray in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost built you up on your most holy faith. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. God's wonderful, isn't he? Even when we are going through it. For all of you, and I say that for all of you out there. Infirmities, excuse me, infirmities are not always something of a dreadful nature in a certain sense. There are God desires. I won't call them infirmities, but there are God things that inside us that just leave us in a place where we're undone until God comes and fills that place for us. I remember a weakness that I had. I would call it a God type pain. You know, God doesn't cause pain, but in this sense of the word, you'll understand what I'm talking about in a moment. In March of 97, I was in business and trying to, you know, sell a home. I really wanted to go into the ministry. Miss Barbara Fish had wrecked Candy and I by feeding us a bunch of Dave Roberson tapes, and I did not know who Dave Roberson was. I had never seen him. He used to come to the church right across the street from us, or not right across. It was on that street. And I remember Barbara said, you know, they had all these big names come in there, and I could name all those big names. And she said, but there was one guy that really touched my heart that I knew had the truth, and that was Pastor Dave Roberson. And so she began to give us these tapes, and we were going through some things, and I began to listen to this guy named Dave Roberson. And then in March of 97, Miss Barbara and dear Vinny, that is in heaven now, and Candy and I went out to the Prayer and Power Conference. And I already had a stirring inside of me. I knew that I was supposed to be in the ministry. I was actually pastoring the church over here. And I don't know if we had moved in here yet or not. We were back and forth. We actually moved in here one time and then had to move out or something. It was crazy, back and forth. And so there was a great desire in my heart to go full-time in the ministry, but I didn't know how to do that. I was locked up in a business. I was locked up in a house because I knew I had to come over here. But March of 97, you've heard my story many times, but it just, this is one of those infirmities that God knows who you are, and the Holy Spirit begins to pray for you and change things in your life beyond your ability to know how he's going to change things. So I remember I went to that first meeting that day, and Candy and I were sitting there along with Barbara and Vinny, and the worship was so wonderful, and my spirit was going to a place that I had never been before, and this man came out that I did not know. I had not even, to my knowledge, unless the Holy Spirit corrects me on this, I'd never seen him. They didn't even have a picture in the foyer at that time of who he was. But when he walked past, and I'm not trying to glorify a man, but when he walked past, there was a presence. And I began to say, oh my God. And I was close enough that the presence was there. And see, this is where we're going. We're going to a revival, a presence revival. Not that's going to follow just one person. It's going to follow us all. Hallelujah. And he had been praying and staying in the presence of God up to that conference, I guess. And that's the life he lived. And he walked past, and I was like, my God. And he got up on the stage, and I remember him. He went up on the left side, I believe, that day. And I was thinking in my heart, I said, I don't know who that guy is. I could have guessed, but I thought to myself, I said, I don't know who that guy is, but I said, I have got to have what he's got. And that hunger was inside of me for more of God. It was absolutely was there. And I began to die that day. I remember as Barbara and Candy, we all were going to go to lunch that day. And I said, no, just, I got to stay here. And that was March of 1997. And I remember I went over to the left side. If you're standing looking at the auditorium at the pulpit, I went over to the left side and I began to walk over there and pray, and I began to be crushed and undone, and an infirmity of a God pain, a God kind of pain. And I said, God, I'll do anything you say, whatever you want me to do. I have got to go into the ministry. I've got to have this. I've got to be in a place where I can seek you all day long for what you have for my life. And I began to cry, and I began to cry before the Lord. And just as clear as if you were talking to me, the Lord said to me this. He said, if you will go back. Now, this is what he said. He said, I'm going to tell you this just for purposes of teaching of how the Holy Spirit prays for us. He said, if you'll go back and if you'll pray every day nonstop for 3 hours, in the Holy Spirit, if you'll pray in tongues. And then he said this, he said, if you'll do, and I'm listening, I'm just, you know, you're just listening, Holy Spirit speaking. He said, if you'll do a 10-day fast, and it was a water fast, a 10-day water fast. I don't know if he said water fast, but that's what I did. A 10-day water fast every quarter and pray. He gave me this, it was like he wrote it out. It was like going to a doctor and doctor writing out your prescription. He said, if you'll fast 10 days and pray in tongues 3 hours a day, I will deliver you over to the ministry. I said, okay, because I wanted whatever he said. And so we came back here And of course, we weren't living down here then. And that was in March of 97. And I began to do that. I would go in. You see, a lot of times we want to feel God before we act on what he says. We act on what he says, and then God comes and does what he says he'll do. That's called stepping out. In that sense, the word, step out in obedience. So I'd go home. I'd start the men working. I had a separate business than my dad. I'd start the men working. I would drive home. I would remember I would go in, and I would sit on the floor in my bedroom, and I would, whatever, and just pray those hours nonstop. I started the fast that he said. All I can say, that was March of 1997. By August, which is however many months later, by August of 1997, by the way, 2027 will be 30 years. We're coming up on a good mark, right? So in August of, I think it was August 15th, if my memory serves me right, and I've got a great memory, that every, you know, that's when we came over here and we launched into full-time ministry. But all I can say is those hours and hours, I didn't know what was taking place. All I knew is obedience, obedience, pray in tongues and fast, pray in tongues and fast, pray in tongues and fast. At the end of about, I don't know how many months is that? Five? Okay, but I did one and I started in the second fast, and I did the second fast, I'm sure, because I would start it, you know, right at the end of the first quarter. Somewhere in that, my infirmity, what's your infirmity? I got to have more of God. That was my infirmity. Infirmities are not always like a killing sense. My infirmity, my weakness was, God, I'm hurting on the inside. I've got to have more of you. So I prayed myself in a place, and all I can say is I was trying to figure out what to do with the business, what to do with the house. And I won't go into that story because that's a long story. But a grace, a supernatural grace came on me, and it was like, I know what to do. I'll just give them away. That's the best thing. Instead of continue to try to sell something that won't work, I just basically, in all essence, gave that home away, gave the business away, and just came over here. But what caused that? What caused that turn of events? What caused someone to be able to do that? It wasn't my own volition, my own, you know, I'm going to do this. A grace fell from heaven, and one day I woke up and said, I know what to do, and I have the grace and the strength to do it. Now, here's the thing. I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know what, you know, it may be a weakness of the flesh. It may be something else. It may not be just what I describe as a God kind of weakness. But whatever it is, if you will get in the presence of God and say, God, what is your plan for my life? I'll do this, and I'll do it continually by obedience, whether I feel it or not. At the end of all that, God promises this, his grace will be sufficient. He will bring you to a place where you're able to do what he said. Amen. Hallelujah. He'll complete it. Are you getting anything out of this? Verse 31 in Romans chapter 8, it says this. What shall we say to these things? What things? All these groanings. Groanings of the earth. Groanings of the new birth. Groanings of the Holy Spirit. What shall we say to all these things? God working all these, things together for our good through praying in tongues. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, this is our promise, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Hallelujah. What all things do you need this morning? Hallelujah. It's there. What's the God, will you give it to me? Is it in the word? Yes, sir. Yes. Here's my answer. Yes. You can have it. When can I have it? Now. Can you believe for it now? Yes, sir. Now. Now's the time. Hallelujah. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Here's the God that loves us, pulling with us, pulling for us, pulling with us in intercession. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Christ not is the one condemning. Yes, rather, that is risen again, who is at the right hand of God, and who also maketh intercession for us. We got the earth making intercession. We got our new nature making intercession. We got the Holy Spirit making intercession. And we got Christ in heaven making intercession for us. Hallelujah. My God, what a winning team. Glory to God. How can we fail? Who shall separate us from the love of God or love of Christ? And then he asked this question, shall tribulation? No. I need some no's. Okay. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation?
No.
What about distress?
No.
What about persecution?
No.
What about famine?
No.
What about nakedness?
No.
What about peril?
No.
What about the sword?
No.
Wars, rumors of wars, all these things. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. This isn't saying that these things destroy us. It's saying that if we yield ourselves, here's how that we get the allow the Holy Ghost to saturate us, is that we yield and say, Lord, like a sheep coming to the slaughter, I yield myself, my members, to the Holy Ghost. Lord, help me to die. Help me to turn myself over to you. Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, saturate us with that kind of mortification that causes us to come to a place where we die like sheep to the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, he says this, we're more than conquerors. Not just conquerors, you're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, this is Paul's persuasion, me too. I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, or things present, whatever's present, even in the present trial, the tribulation, or whatever your body's going through, none of that shall be able, none of these, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. How does this intercessor in heaven, he's hearing the prayers of the Holy Ghost praying through us. He himself is standing or seated at the right hand of the Father, always interceding for us. He does this because he's God. He can do this because he's God. Hebrews chapter 4, look at chapter 4, verse 14. Are you glad you came to church today? Hallelujah. We'll be praying tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 14, Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not, double negative here, bring us to a very positive. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Well, how's he touched? Well, one of the things is the Holy Spirit's praying those infirmities up. He's understanding what the Holy Spirit's praying. He understands those sighings, those groanings. He's receiving those. But was in all points, he was Christ, our Lord, that seated at the right hand of the Father, was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Thank God. And everything that any person could ever face in this life, Jesus has gone before them. Candy reached over this morning. She said, he's got this. He's already gone before us. He's already gone before us because all of anything that we could ever face in this life, he's already faced it in some form and some way or the other while he was on this planet. And because of this, it says here, we have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of the, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He did not sin. He's the spotless lamb. He never sinned. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain what? Mercy. Now, this isn't mercy for salvation. It's the word compassion. It's God's love. It's the sense of he wants to reach out to us that we may find grace. Mercy takes you to grace. His compassion says, okay, here's grace. Here's an ability. Here's my strength poured out in your weaknesses, and that I can edify you through the Holy Spirit to find grace to help in the time of need. Hallelujah. So we go tomorrow, today, whenever, and say, Lord, I can come to you unashamedly by the blood of Jesus and say, Lord, your grace, because I'm coming to the throne of grace, I find mercy and grace to help in the time of need. Hallelujah. I included this verse this morning. Mr. Gary Carpenter got me started on this one when he texted me this morning. And this is really, for me, I feel like it's our blueprint for it's the prophetic blueprint out of the book of Ezekiel for us and what we're believing God for. Go to Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel chapter 47. Church, are you saved? That's pretty good. That's pretty good for not being queued up. Church, are you saved? Okay, here's the... You're supposed to say, First John saved. Okay, well, that way we'll all do it again. Church, are you saved?
First John saved.
Yes, glory to God. Some of you were saying, what does that mean? Go to Gary Carpenter website and listen to his First John series. You'll know what I'm talking about. Look at Ezekiel chapter 47. This is I know it's contextually something, you know, in what Ezekiel was talking about then, but also prophetically it's to us and to anybody that's believing for this outpouring. What are we going to see in the days ahead? What are we going to see now? Where are we at in the prophetic timeline of things taking place towards this outpouring of Holy Spirit? Verse 1 says this, afterward, and this is, I want you to get this as a prophetic vision. See this as God's Holy Spirit and the power of Holy Spirit proceeding from the throne of grace over this region, over this church, and over everything we're believing God for. Ezekiel 47:1, afterward, he brought me again to the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood towards the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. So see this vision. The waters are proceeding, and the waters are beginning to come up. Then he brought me out, verse 2, of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh, he's very descriptive, looketh eastward. And behold, there ran waters out on the right side. And when the man that had made the line in his hand, had the line in his hand, went forth eastward, he measured, this angel's coming in this vision, and he's showing Ezekiel something. He measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me forth through the waters, and the waters were ankle deep. So he's bringing him out. This water is coming out from the threshold underneath the door from the glory of God, and it's beginning to form an incredible stream of God's presence in the earth. And this angelic being in this vision is showing him, and he says here that he brought him out, and he brought him through the waters, and the waters at that point were ankle deep. If maybe we're in a place where the waters are ankle deep right now in the earth, in the outpouring, but we're not going to give up there. We'll never give up there. Hallelujah. Verse 4 says this, and he measured, and again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were knee deep. Hallelujah. They're getting deeper. And again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the waters were to the loins. And afterwards, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen and waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. That's the fullness of revival. God, give us ankle, knee, thigh, but Lord, in Jesus' name, give us this full outpouring. We will not be satisfied with just a little. We've got to have it in fullness. And that's what we're interceding for, and that's what the groanings of the Holy Spirit really wants. He really wants to come to a place where he groans through us and saying, Father in heaven, through your vessels, Lord, pour out this Holy Spirit anointed revival upon the planet. Hallelujah. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. And when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were every many trees on one side and on the other. Were very many trees on one side and then the other. And he said unto me, these waters issue out towards the east country and go down to the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And he says in verse 9, and it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish. Well, what is fish? Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. We got a bunch of fish out there that needs to be caught, because these waters shall come thither, and they shall be healed, and everything shall live whithersoever or whither the river cometh. Everything that gets in the wake of this revival is going to be healed, set free, delivered, filled, hallelujah, and come into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Jesus, we worship you. Harry, we just worship you, Jesus. Lord, you're so worthy. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the one who likewise makes intercession for us. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you're watching through the camera this morning, and all of us, let's just pray, bow our heads and just close our eyes maybe, and just shut ourselves in with God for just a moment. Let's just listen. We worship you, Jesus. Glorify you, Father. You're worthy, Jesus. Worthy, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. If you're out there listening or in here, if you've never received Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, Jesus loves you so much today. He gave himself for you. He left the opulence and the love of his Father in heaven and came to this earth. Took your sin upon himself. The word says that we sin passed upon all men, and that all men have sinned. Now, we don't have to continue to sin once we're born again. But Jesus became the ultimate and only sacrifice. If you're listening out there or here this morning and you've not received Christ as your personal Savior, he's the only way to the Father. He's the only way of salvation. He is the truth. The simplicity is just to believe on him. Ask him to come into your life, your heart, forgive you of your sins, and he'll do that. Let's just do that right now together. Those of you who are watching, those of you who are here, let's just pray this prayer. It won't hurt you. Let's say this. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I acknowledge that he is the way the truth, and the life. That no man comes to you except through Jesus. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins and wash me in your blood. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And I will serve you and follow you all the days of my life. Hallelujah. Now, if you're out there and you heard this message concerning praying in tongues, or you're in here and you say, do I need that? Yes, it's so important. Not for your eternal salvation, but for your ability to get past some of the hard things that are in this life. And God will help you even if you're not filled with the hard things. But this is an addition. This is an also. So as we worship the Lord, with no one looking around, if there's anyone that say, I want to be filled this morning, I want this experience, can you help me with it? Yes, we can. We absolutely can. Let's all stand together. I can't fill you, but God can fill you with His Holy Spirit. And I know how to help you get there. Hallelujah. Let's just worship the Lord. Close your eyes and just worship Him for a moment. We worship you, Jesus. We love 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 you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't know who may be here. If you're ready, now's the time. But if you'd like for me to pray for you as we sing this worship song, bring us to a worship song. If anyone would need prayer, and especially if you need prayer for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just step out. Just come forward. We'll pray with you. And you will be filled. Hallelujah. Lead us in this. Hallelujah. Harry, worship you, Jesus. Tonight at 6 for prayer, and you're blessed. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. We love you out there, wherever out there is at. Have a great day. In Jesus' name.